Father God, we come to you, our Lord and our Savior. We proclaim that you are head of this church, and Lord, you are holy, and we cry out to you for your anointing. Even today, God, we pray for your anointing upon us. Lord, we are your people, the people of your pasture, and so we pray, God, for your gentle shepherding upon us. And God, as we come together as your people to pray, we know that as you observe us, as you see us, as you acknowledge us, God, we know that you are pleased when we pray together. And so, Father, we come proclaiming you as Lord of our life and of this church, and to you all praise and glory and honor and power be given. Father, we also come to you as your people, and we confess, Lord, that there have been areas in our life that have not been pleasing to you, even over this past week, maybe even this morning, God. We ask, God, we cry out to you and say, make us holy to you. God, cleanse us, forgive us. Lord, maybe we've even strayed, and Father, we've forgotten who you are, and that we can cry out to you. Father, forgive us for that. Lord, when we put our own wants and desires in front of you, we ask, Lord, that you forgive us for that. And we pray that as a church, Lord, we would maintain that clear purpose and direction that you give to us. And God, may we be unified in that. May we not stray from that, from you. And Father, we come as your people and we pray for one another. As you've called to us to pray for one another in Scripture, we pray for one another, God. When we think of little Clayton this morning, and we pray for him, we pray for healing upon him, and God, for strength on him, and for Vernon and Lindsay too, God, as they walk through this time, we pray for them that they would see your face and they would look to you. God, we pray for Reed and Barbara too, and Lord, for the whole family, we just pray that your courage and encouragement would be upon them. Lord, we continue to pray for those health needs that are very pressing and immediate to us. We pray for Edna Wright and Doug Cooper and Henry Neeson and Ruth and Herb and Lori and Megan. And God, we lift them to you and pray that your will be done and that you would provide healing in various ways, God. We know that when we cry out to you for healing, we mean spiritually, emotionally, God, physically, but we pray for your will to be done. And God, we think of Connie today in a special way, and we pray that she would find strength and encouragement in you, and that you'd be very close to Craig and her family and to Shirley, and Lord, continue to give them your strength and your peace. Father, we think of tomorrow, and we as a church, Lord, we know that we just trust completely in you, God, because we can't do any of this. And Lord, we don't know how we can do it, and that's why we need to trust in you, because we can't do it, God. And so we pray for tomorrow. We pray for your anointing upon us as we speak with the mayor and counselors, and God, that it'll be a time where you are exalted and glorified. And God, we just pray that no matter what, we pray that we would earnestly seek you first. God, you're our Father. You're our Lord. You are our strength. You are our peace. And we cry out to you, Father. We cry out to you today that you would just bless us as your people. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, isn't it a great day today? Oh, okay. Just making sure it was okay. I said that. Sure. Don't you love the sunshine? It's great. Do you like the sunshine? Okay. You know, I'm deaf or something. I think I heard it. Check it. It's great. Where was I? Oh yeah, we began last week looking at togetherness. We can do so much more when we are together, when we're When we're unified in our purpose and in our direction, God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to give blessings and promises to God's people. And this is determined by you and me entering into this relationship with Him. This morning I'm going to talk about peace. And because God wants you to have peace. Do you know that? He wants to give us peace. I want you to know right now that without God, I cannot sense peace. But when I spend time with Him, I can have peace in a very stressful society. Amen? It kind of reminds me of a story. I've just got to tell this story. You're okay with that, right? So, wise old gentleman, he retired and he purchased a modest home near a junior high school. And he spent the first few weeks of his retirement in peace and contentment. He was loving it. And then a new school year began, much like this week for you guys. Sorry to remind you, it's going to happen. Well, the very next afternoon after school started, three young boys, full of youthful after-school enthusiasm, came down his street beating merrily on every trash can that they encountered. Whack, 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 whack. And the crashing percussion continued day after day until finally the wise old man decided it was time to take some action. Well, the next afternoon, he walked out to meet the young percussionists as they banged their way down the street. And stopping them, he said, "Now, you kids are a lot of fun. I like to see you express your exuberance like that." Sounds like George Bush, doesn't it? It's the first time I've ever got George Bush right. "I like to see you express your exuberance like that. Used to do the same thing when I was your age. Will you do me a favor? I'll give you each a dollar if you'll promise to come around every day and do your thing." Well, the kids were elated. I mean, a buck. They continued to do just a bang-up job on those trash cans. Oh, that's bad. After a few days, the old-timer greeted the kids again. This time, he kind of has this kind of a sad smile on his face. "This recession's really putting a big dent in my income," he said. "From now on, I'll only be able to pay you 50 cents to beat on them their cans." Well, the noisemakers were kind of displeased, but they accepted the offer. They continued their afternoon ruckus. They, you know, knocked those cans. And a few days later, the wily retiree approached them again as they drummed their way down the street. "And, oh, look," he said. "I haven't received my Social Security check yet, so I'm not going to be able to give you more than 25 cents a day. Will that be okay?" The drumming, "What? A lousy quarter? If you think that we're going to waste our time beating these cans around for a quarter, you're nuts. No way, mister, we quit." And the old man enjoyed peace and serenity for the rest of his days. So you got to think when you solve problems with these. Have you ever wondered how we can have peace when our world's so full of stress? I mean, have you ever questioned, how can I handle this? How can I get by? How can I get through this? Such queries promote worry and fear, which often leads to discouragement. It's kind of like an exercise bike. You remember, you pedal harder and faster, and all the while you're working up a sweat, and you're still in the same room. You never get to the place you're going. That's kind of like worry and fear. Does that? The Apostle Paul always seemed to address this issue with churches. Now, we seem to think that we're perfect, don't we? But good old Paul tackled this issue wherever he went, the issue of peace and intimacy with the Savior. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, Paul gives a practical lesson on how to have peace in your life. It's very practical. So I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at these two verses quickly this morning. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4. I'd like you to turn there. You ready? All right, here we go. Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." May God add His blessing to His word. Now, there's two things I want you to see there. I want you to underline. "But in everything by prayer and petition." But in everything by prayer and petition, underline that. And then I want you, separate underline, doing it in red ink, if you got red ink on you. Bring your red pens next time. With thanksgiving. See, the Century Version says, pray about everything with thankful hearts. You see, knowing that the Lord wants nothing more than unity in His church, we need to understand the importance of these two phrases. I trust this morning you will, as we examine carefully the Word of God. See, Paul here tells us that there are two things that we must do if we want to have this incredible peace that passes all understanding. If we truly want to experience intimacy, if we really want to know God's peace, we must do this together. That's what I love about Scripture, it's always together. So together, knowing God's peace requires, first of all, prayer. Requires prayer. It says everything, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. I don't know about you, but I require this in my life. I cannot get along without this time I spend with God. I mean, I need Him. But here's where it gets difficult. Often the world offers something to take away our thought of prayer. See, the world comes on and says, wait a minute, you got to get this done for, oh yeah, just about to pray, but okay, yeah, I'll get that done. Or the phone will ring, or, you know, something happens. See, our time is limited, and we cannot even spend a few minutes with God in silence. And so we're used to coming to God, and okay, when I go to God, it's got to be profitable, so I better ask for some things. We're so used to asking for things in our society that we just meet with God, and we, okay, God, I'm going to ask for more. Have you ever taken time just to sit? Ugh. That's why I love Sunday mornings. I always say, I don't care if you guys come here and sleep for an hour. Because you're getting a rest. Because often we don't come and we don't rest during our week. We don't. And so you come here. I mean, I was yawning. I had a great wedding yesterday. We had so much fun. You know, I got a little wild. You know, we had fun there, and you know, no, don't. It was great. We had a great time. I ate pierogies and cabbage rolls, right, Olga? Do you make those, Olga? Those pierogies and cabbage rolls at the wedding? How many did you make? Yes, I want to know how many. What's that? She made about 2,000 pierogies, maybe 1,000 or 2,000. But you had help. All right. How many of you, have you eaten pierogies before, anybody? How about cabbage rolls? Okay, well, I had fun yesterday. I really did. I ate. It was great. But have you ever taken time to just sit? To just sit there? Look at what S.D. Gordon said. I want you to see this. S.D. Gordon said this. He said, prayer is the ultimate weapon. It may be the battle. It may be the battle because there's so much vying for our time that we don't take time to pray. I've mentioned it a number of times before, but I want to hammer this point home now. Prayer is critical to power over the enemy. Because James chapter 5 says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. There is nothing too great for God's power. There is nothing too small for God's care. There's nothing too great for God's power. There's nothing too small for God's care. See, God is an awesome God. And He can handle everything. Sometimes, you know, there's that hymn. What do we call it? What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And there's a line in there. Stanza that goes, I'll go sing it. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? It goes on and it says, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now that's good theology, folks. In a hymn. That's great theology. Paul says in this passage, bring everything to God in prayer. Everything. He's saying that if you want the peace that will pass all understanding, learn to bring everything to God in prayer. In fact, The way to not worry about anything, or to be afraid about anything, or to be discouraged about anything, is to be prayerful about everything. Ziggy said it best. He said, the present slips by us as we ponder the past and worry about the future. I'll repeat that. The present slips by us as we ponder the past. Okay, now God, I'm taking this next step. I want this to go in front of this shoe. This is the next one, right? Okay, God. Now, let's work together here. I'm going to do the... You don't know. No, see, I'm not talking about, like, the Apostle Paul is talking about having a prayerful attitude about life so that when anything begins to press in on us, creates stress for us, or anxiety, our first response is to turn it over to God. Now, unfortunately, I think most of us as Christians fall kind of short of this. We carry many things for a period of time, knowing it's a load, but saying, well, you know, I think I can handle this, God. I can do this on my own. And too many times, we just don't turn it over to God, and it just soon, we just look... You know, we look like this, you know, because it's so heavy and it's so stressful and therefore we're not immediate in our response of giving it to God. And when we give it to God, I just had somebody this week sat in my office and unloaded and dealt with stuff. And then I said, how are you doing? I feel like a different person. I've just given it away. We bring some things to God in prayer, but we certainly don't bother Him with everything. And I think we need to start bothering Him with everything. We usually just come with the issues that put a stress on it, or we just come with the want list. Here, I want these things more, God. But we need to come to Him with everything. Craig Apani says, many Christians have become very discouraged because they have difficulty maintaining a vital prayer life. True, that is. I want to tell you something. I'll let you in a little secret. Just don't tell anybody, okay? It's a little secret, right? Satan has got us when we don't pray. You see, his strategy is to keep the church from understanding just how critical prayer is in the battle that we're in. We're in the thick of it, friends. We need each other more than ever. The power in this room, I want to tell you right now, the power in this room is tremendous. We need one another. This is a command from our Lord Himself. You sang it this morning. This is my commandment, that you love one another. You know, and then you know. You sang it. We need each other. We need to love one another. We need to build up one another. Don't tear each other down. We need to lift one another in prayer. We need to encourage one another. Jesus talked about Matthew 6. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that men should at all times pray and not lose heart. Luke 18. Have you ever lost heart? You feel like you're losing your heart even this morning? Without praying, we can lose heart and we can give up. Some translations read, and not faint, in that Luke passage. When asked how to pray, because I'm often asked, how do I pray? The Lord gave us what's been called the Lord's Prayer in Scripture. Very orderly prayer, covers a number of critical, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. I can't explain all the mystery behind praying to the Lord. I can't explain. All I know is for sure, is that the more people praying, the easier everything goes. And I think this is most suitable for me at this point to thank you. To thank all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're wondering why? For your prayers. Because I know that each one of you, at some point, you pray. You pray for the church, you're praying. You prayed much for this church. You have prayed for the staff, and you prayed for our families. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Did you get it? Right on. Now that I said thank you, I need to just do a little advertisement. Tomorrow the church is open. From 9 to 4, the sanctuary is open. You can come in here and you can pray. And our city meeting is at 2 o'clock. I believe we present at 2:47 or something. is around 2:45, we present to the city. You're welcome to come here and pray. But I thank you for you. If we truly want to develop our intimacy and our peace as believers, as a church, we must pray. Altogether, knowing God's peace requires, first of all, prayer. It requires praise. Now, look at this passage here in Philippians again. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with sorrow, with mourning, with obligation, no, with thanksgiving. Look, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Just go forward a little bit. So I want you to have your hand on this. You see, I find it interesting. A spirit of thankfulness always shows up in peace scriptures. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers. I love preparing messages because I learn so much from it. And this one exciting discovery is in working on this message is that every time that you find God talking about supplying peace, you'll find related to that peace a grateful, thankful heart. Now, and look at this Colossians passage, verse 15. Where am I? Here we go. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Isn't that great? There's quite a few occasions there, just in that one passage, where we're called upon to give praise. Charlie Brown and Linus and Peanuts provide a good example. Linus comes up to Charlie Brown. Linus, who they look just frightened. And good old Lucy, she's always very tactful. She says, "What are you two so worried about?" Charlie Brown says, "Well, we're afraid of the future." That's Charlie Brown to say that. And Lucy pauses just for a moment and says, "Well, what are you afraid of? Tomorrow? Friday? Next week? Anything in particular?" And Linus replies, "No. We're worried about everything. Our worrying is very broad-minded." I know a lot of broad-minded worriers. About everything, you know. You just throw out a subject and they get worried about it, like liverwurst. Okay, now you're thinking dinner. You're going, "I hope he's going to be done in time so I can get that pot roast out of the oven." You know what I mean? You get ravioli, you know. Again, you're thinking dinner. You know, the other day I figured out that if a person lived to be 75 years old, they'd live 656,990 hours. That's too long a period not to have fun. So we got to start praising. We got to give gratitude and thanks. We've got to start enjoying our life. Too often we simply look around and we see whose life we can sour because our life is sour, you know? All right, who's coming along? We should look for ways to make others soar, not sour. How can I help this? You know what I want? When somebody walks in my office, I want to make sure that when they leave my office, they feel good about who they are. Folks, we take ourselves way too seriously, don't we? Lord, help us. You know what we need? I tell you what, word of advice, just go home and look in the mirror. It'll help you lighten up. Well, it does me. The bad news is we take ourselves way too seriously. The good news is you don't need to do it anymore because there aren't that many people watching. Know the one who knows you better than you do. Spend time with him because he knows you. You show me somebody that's critical, complaining, and trying to move their own agenda, I'll show you a person who's not walking with God. Not trusting God enough to do his will. See, Paul is telling us it's that kind of attitude that destroys the church, but it's the attitude of praise that builds it up, that brings peace. He talks a lot about having a cheerful attitude, doesn't he? In the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of supreme difficulties, it shows a very submissive servant heart to Christ when we praise Him. It's the kind of attitude that brings peace. We think it's the absence of problems that brings us peace. It's not, because I'm here to tell you, friends, this is life. And even in Canada, life's full of problems. Amen? You all got one. Hey, some of you are going like this, nudging your spouse. Don't. You better believe it. I want to share with you that I have noticed that a thankful heart, and I've noticed this in my whole life, a thankful heart is not a panicked heart. I don't panic anymore. Our Father, Lord, and hallowed be thy name. A heart filled with praise, even during the hardest times, cannot be anything but peaceful. Peace is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of a thankful, grateful heart that can see beyond the problem. You know, a lot has gone into our meeting tomorrow, and it's great. I just know God's got this looked after. I don't know how, but He's got it looked after. And I'm calm about that. I really am calm about it. I often receive letters from people telling me how God changed them, or how they're being shaped, or how when they let go of it, God did something wonderful. And that's all about peace that passes all understanding. I love what Mary Crawley has said, and you may have heard this before, but she said, every evening I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. When I offer my sacrifice of praise, which Hebrews refers to it, the sacrifice of praise, it means to surrender, it means to give up. It's a conscious decision to do so even under trying circumstances. I choose to praise. Now let me tell you, the enemy hates the praises of God's anointed children. James writes, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Our response during times of testing is closely watched and observed by our Lord. I know as a spiritual leader that I give a greater account before God of how I have pointed to Him through such times. And the natural response of joy, fullness, is praise. This Colossians passage clearly explains that permanent change and improvement always happens from the inside out. And be thankful. It's not an afterthought, but because gratitude is intimately associated with peace. Praise does so much more. When we actively together praise God, worship Him, and read His Word, and pray, something happens. Something amazing occurs. Something wonderful takes place. Anyway, see you at the altar. It's coming up. And to pray for our students and pray together as a church for our students. Such gratitude promotes peace and harmony within the church. And let me tell you, there is nothing more alarming to the enemy than when the church promotes peace and harmony. Because that's what our Lord has called us to be. Remember, the love of God desires only what's best for us. The wisdom of God knows only what is best for us. And the power of God allows only what is best for us. So then the formula for peace is to put God first in every area and then receive God's peace in every area. Let's pray. Father, you're a marvelous God. You know us. In fact, the psalmist said we are wonderfully made. God, we pray that as a church, as a as your body, that we would leave here today. May we have a new sense of who we are because of your gift to us of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. God, may that peace, that inner peace, be a reality for the people here first. Not an absence of problems, God, but a continual presence of peace. God, we put you first in everything. And may that peace be ours, God. Because we've learned to be in a relationship with you, to trust in you, to do your will. We rely on you, God. Not on anything, anyone, just simply you. This we pray together in your name. And all God's people said, amen. You've been beautiful to minister to. Yeah.